Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and joining me today is Nick. How are you, Nick?
I'm very good. Just as we were saying before we started recording, this is such a blockbuster episode on all fronts. And it keeps going back to what we said in July of last year, that this is the biggest year for some time in Greek football. We're living it now.
Yeah, for better or for worse, Nick, it's as Michael says, it's the gift that keeps on giving, and
It truly is.
it's given us a lot this week. It's given us a ton of news to talk about this week, not just the football. So
Can barely keep up.
we'll get onto the football first, because obviously that's the most important thing. We'll start with the Super League. So starting the Saturday fixtures, Volos 1-1 draw with Panathinaikos. Nothing really to say about this one, to be honest. It doesn't do anything for either team. They're both still struggling at the kind of bottom end of the table, so not much to speak about there. Bansaraygos needed a got a 95th minute equaliser against Aris, who are seconds away from getting a win away in Ceres, but Bansaraygos got a decent, got a credible draw in the end of the day, so a massive result for them. Ofi losing what a 2-1 at home to Kifisia. I don't Kifisia's first win in a long time as well, Nico, and it's a big one to get in Crete. I know Ofi are a bit topsy-turvy this season, as they always seem to be, but Kifisia, it's their first win in a long time. They've only had 3 wins all season. And to be fair to Ofi, they've only had four, if you can believe it, 4 wins all season.
And it felt like they came like congested so early on in the season. I could be wrong, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I think so.
Like they've just fallen off a cliff and much needed for Kifisia, as you said.
Next, we go to AEK Athens, 4-2 winners over Asteros Tripolis. So 6-goal thriller here. Two own goals from a Asteros player,
By the same
Zukanovic.
player.
Yeah, Zukanovic in the 25th and 43rd minute. Although Ezequiel Ponce also scored in the 27th minute, so it was 3-0 by half time, just before half time, and then just in added time, Bartolo got a penalty in the 45th minute, 45th plus 3rd minute of added time. Then AEK wrapped up the game, 76th minute with Levi Garcia making it 4-1, and then Meritelo consolation goal was in the came in the 90th minute, but it was too late for Asteras. So high flying Asteras, wings clipped by AEK. Good win for them, I guess, because I could very easily have dropped points in this game.
Out of there, yeah, they've got a couple of harder games coming up, but this it was comfortable, as you alluded to. Yeah, 3-0 up at half time, and all of a sudden they put their name well and truly in the mix for the title.
For sure.
We'll get onto that later. That their draw compared to Bulks is more favorable, is what I'm trying to say.
Next, Lamia. Massive 4-1 win away at Bas Yanina. Carlitos still in good form for Lamia scored. Amaril got the second. Then Bas, to be fair, pulled it one back before half time with Pedro Conde. But then Sotiris Tsiulis scored in the 62nd and 81st minute. So massive win for Lamia, as I said. Not just scoreline wise, but it keeps them in sixth place, just a point behind. Sorry, a point ahead of Asteras, and they're catching Aris. You know, they're only 4 points behind Aris, so they're closing the gap on fifth place, where Aris always seem to be by themselves. So very good win and very, very impressive performance from Lamia. Second to last game, Balk went to Beristeri, got a fairly well, got a very late 2-0 win. You know, Stefan Schwab in the 89th minute, followed by a Konstantelias goal to secure the win. It's a weird game, actually, looking at the stats,
It
Nico,
was.
because Adrometos held them. It looked like they were parking the bus, just like they did against Olympiacos. But unlike Olympiacos, Balk managed to find the goals through this. Through it was particularly Konstantelias, the substitute, and Adrometos didn't have a shot on target the whole game, as well.
And us. They've taken 2 wins against us this season in the League and Cup. Even though we knocked them out, they've gotten results against us as well. It was what you said, exactly that. They sat very deep. They tried to limit Bulk. And even when you think that they can try go on the counter, like their goals against us, for example, in their wins came on the counter or set pieces. They couldn't even lay a glove on Bulk in that regard. Bulk was just so very organized at the back, is what I'm trying to say. And first goal, nothing special or anything. It's just persistence paying off against that low block, but the second one is wonderful. I'm not sure if you've seen it,
Have.
Costandelias from
Oh.
distance, and it's a banger.
He only scores nice goals, doesn't he? And you know, Adromitos, going to Adromitos, that's four games without a win, three losses in a row, and they're starting to fall away a little bit. But I'm looking at their fixtures, Nick. The only really tough game you could say they have in their last five is Aris, where they host them. That'll be a fairly tough game. But the other ones, if they can pick it up a little bit, Lamia's the big one. That could decide whether they finish in
Yeah.
the top six or not. And so, yeah, we'll have to see how they go at the end, towards the end of the season, because they'll feel a bit hard done by if they don't hit the playoffs after the regular season ends. But you know, it's on Ilic to get his team playing. Finally, the big one, Panathinaikos hosted Olympiakos at Leoforos. Panathinaikos got the 2-0 win. Bernard scored in the 25th minute through a comedy of errors from Olympiakos's back line. And Yeremeyev scored in on the hour mark in the second half. Olympiakos had their chances too, but unlike Panathinaikos, we just didn't take them. We actually had similar stats to come the end of the game, Nick. But there's been a lot of fallout from this game, which we'll get into in a bit. But first and foremost, go on. You have your say on, as the winning team. Congratulations on this one. I assume you're very pleased.
Yeah, over the moon. From a footballing side of things, we rough loss up at Dumba, where we were lucky essentially to lose only 2-1, even though we had a late chance to equalize. And I remember saying to myself, this next week is the crunch week. In a week's time, we could be eliminated from the cup and we can be as good as gone from the title race. We need to win our next two games against Atromitos in the cup and Olympiakos at home in the league. We've done both. So we've come out the other side. The team's reacted. Credit to Terim because I think he underestimated the Greek league, if I'm honest with you. He thought he would come in here and just do it easy, all guns blazing, boom, high line, attack, attack, attack. And he got found out that way. These two wins in this last week, it was more Jovanovic style, the back line sitting a bit deeper, a bit more focus on defense, more organization, more balance. Some continuity, the same faces in the lineup, especially at the heart of defense. Still got our injuries, but players are slowly returning on that front as well. This game, it felt like it was won before it even kicked off. There were the scenes at the Caravel, the hotel where the team bus left to go to Leoforos. Over 3,000 fans there to, hype the players and the coach up, and for incredible scenes. And I reckon that was the players knew that they had to get the job done, and they did. So as I said, Terim tactically tweaked a few things. He also knew what was coming. So we played you guys in the cup game, and he learned his lesson from, especially from that first leg, which was poor from us. He knew what was coming. So he knew Alexandropoulos would be sent high up the field to press. And really, he is a one-trick pony, Alexandropoulos. We knew what was coming. In comes Ruben Perez, and problem solved, basically. Arguably man of the match. There were a lot of contenders for man of the match. He's one of many. He dictated the terms of this game, controlled the tempo. Center backs, very good as well. He had Valle and Aral. Well, I'll get on to the players that have turned the corner as well. But they were able to find Ruben Perez and his buddy next to him in that double pivot role, Terim. And then from there, we were just able to play through you guys with ease. We started the better side the first 10 minutes. Then our goal came in a period where you guys were starting to get on top, I felt like. So it came at a great time. As you said, chances across the whole game overall quite even, and we took our chances. In fact, that's been our Achilles heel in these derbies, not being able to finish the bloody chances. And in this game, we did. The first goal, 20 passes in the build-up and finished by Bernard. He was probably one of the very, very few players that didn't have a good game overall. Other than that, huge praise for every player, basically. Then we, as overall, I thought we were much the better side. Then we got our second goal, Yeremeyev. Again, very, very nicely well-worked goal. Bakasetas involved in both goals this time, pinpoint cross to get the assist. And even Bakasetas, we haven't had a game-changer signing like this, I can't, in a long, long time. He's completely changed the outlook of this side. He's given us what we didn't have all this time. Like, if you compare Zouricic and Bernard to Bacasetas, night and day. So he's been phenomenal. And I do think we're going to get better because we're yet to see properly that Bacasetas Ioannidis link up. Wait till that happens. I think this team's got a lot more to give. And Tarim, as I said, is figuring things out. After 2-0, we had chances to make it 3, it felt like. Not, we sort of put the queue in the rack as well and invited pressure on ourselves. And that's when you guys, I think, had your best chances. Ake and Balk will punish us. Thankfully, you guys didn't in this game. There was one. I can't remember who it fell to for you guys. It was on the transition again. Ake and Balk will punish us in those moments. But overall, not a 10 out of 10 performance, probably a 7.5, 8 out of 10 performance. Very, very happy with it. We saw a reaction.
Yeah, and obviously you got the win. So even if you played really badly against your rivals, you doesn't matter, does it, how you perform? It's
No,
really
it
how
doesn't
you get the
matter.
win. And look, Olympiakos on the other side of things made a lot of errors, particularly on the side of Carlos Carvajal, although that isn't exactly a new thing since he's come in. Omar Richards starting on the wing. It worked in the cup, in the first half of the cup, not even in the second half, and it's failed epically here. Nothing on him. You know, he's being asked to play out of position, but he was part of the reason why we conceded the first goal. Kostas Fortuinis should have started in a derby match. Because he came on in after half time and he made the difference massively. It's disappointing, Nick, obviously from our side, because we were not. It's not only about losing to you guys, but it's the way we couldn't finish our chances and we're making the same mistakes, and these defensive errors haven't been solved because it was a comedy of errors. It was like a lack of communication, a lack of speaking to each other from the players, and yeah, it just feels like we've taken a well, we were kind of we'd taken a few steps forward with Diego Martinez, and then after they got rid of him, and we took two steps back with Carlos Carvajal. And there's been a couple of okay performances. You know, I'm not going to say every performance was bad. Like, you know, the game against Bakatopola in the Europa League was good. The game against Aris was well done for the most part. And even in this game, we didn't play really badly. Like, we weren't destroyed by you guys. It wasn't again like Balka Gariskaki. We had our chances and we just absolutely fluffed them at times. When we very easily could have been a goal ahead before you guys scored, we could have equalized before you guys scored the second. So frustrating. And there's been a lot, as I entailed before we started talking about the football, there's been a lot of fallout from this game. So Pedro Alves, our sporting director, has been sacked. Apparently, he had a dispute with the board because it turns out from some certain reports that he wasn't involved with any of the transfers that had occurred during the window. And so, the club interfered when he did try to make transfers. So that's why he's out after 2 months. So we brought in Darko Kovacevic, I think.
Yeah, who's been there? Former player, and he's been in the role before.
Yeah, Kovacevic, that's it. Yeah, Kovacevic. He was sporting director from 2010 to 2018, so he's got a good track record apart from the 17-18 season, I guess. And it's more change coming to Olympiacos, Nico, because by the sounds of it, Carlos Carvajal could be gone as well, within a matter of hours, if not a day.
Yeah.
Like def if not days, definitely a matter of hours now, because we
He was
have
doomed, wasn't he, from the
he was.
beginning?
Yeah, he was kind of doomed from the start, but then it's also on the club for trying to do these constant quick fix solutions that just don't work. They just don't. And I can't remember who it was that said it on from Gazeta. And but Olympiacos need to stop thinking about trying to win the title now. Olympiacos need to focus on building a team now and building a project now to then be competitive to then go and win the title. That's what Olympiacos need to do, and it was proven under Pedro Martins that that's how we went from being bad in 17-18 to not winning the league but looking better in 18-19. Then by 2019-20, we had one of the best teams we've ever had in the modern era, and played some of the best football. And we could have, and had COVID not happened, we would have actually. I think we would have achieved even more, particularly in Europe. But then, you know, you could say that for any team during the COVID period. And so, obviously, Pascal Janssen is the name that is close to signing for Olympiacos, although that apparently is not guaranteed. There's a few other names in there. Igor Tudor as well, who was a former Balk manager for a season recently at Marseille. And I even Jovanovic has been linked with us, Nigel, but I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
I 99.99%. That's not going to happen.
Yep.
Even if he was, he's not going to be. I can't even see him being offered the job. And if in the off chance he was offered the job, I reckon he wouldn't even think about it. He'd knock it back straight away. Too much. He said some things about you guys as well. It wouldn't. Nah. Yeah. No chance.
I can't see that, to be honest, Nick. I just think that. Yeah, I think that Jovanovic is like a weird sort of like parallel universe thing where he's already been at us, been with us, and yeah, and I can't see it. But yeah, basically, there's been a lot of fallout, and it's the you know there's a lot of rumors about player discontent with Carvajal, particularly Podence and Gaston, not
That's the
Gaston,
thing, isn't
Rodrigo,
it?
Rodriguez. It's
Take Pedence, Premier League player, now a bench player in derbies in Greece.
Yeah.
What a fall from grace that is.
Yeah, massive fall. But
I'm
then
not,
again,
but that's a part. It's part partially him and the coaching staff. It's all around.
at the same time, Nick, he had such a good start to the season as well. He was looking really, really dynamic, and I think injuries haven't helped, but then also the way he's been deployed under Carvajal has been wrong too. He's not been coming on as an impact sub and making an impact because the substitutes have been really bad at not just with who he's brought on, but the timing of which the players have been brought on too. So it's yeah, we'll have to see.
It's
I
a
mean,
mess.
what well,
It's
the podcast will end and a new manager will be announced. So
yeah, probably. But what's the point? This Jensen sounds like he's got a decent record, did well in the Dutch league and all that. But what's the point if he's not going to be given time? It's like a merry-go-round at the moment, the coaching carousel, revolving door. What's the point? It's like the technical director. I was going to ask you, he was Portuguese, this Alves, wasn't he?
Yes, Pedro Alves. So yeah, Pedro
You
Alves,
guys
the
went and
sporting
signed
director,
all
was
these
Portuguese.
Portuguese guys.
Well, that's the thing, Nicole.
You
Apparently,
signed
they
all
weren't
these
his.
Portuguese
They weren't
guys and he
his.
didn't have a say in it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't
That's more
know.
mind-blowing.
Yeah. Honestly, man, it's crazy. It's
That's it.
crazy.
The whole thing on all fronts is a mess. Honestly, on the pitch, I was shocked at how easy it was for us because you guys were playing for your season and I thought this was going to be a real, I thought we were going to win in a scrappy, hard-fought game. I didn't expect it to be that easy.
Oh yeah, and this for me, I think domestically certainly the season's over. I don't think we're not challenging for the title. We need to now challenge to get a reasonably decent European place because that's
You've
not
got to
even
try to get a
guaranteed.
European.
Because
No,
even
that
if
if Ardis wins the cup, then what?
if any team outside of Panathinaikos and BAOK win the cup, that's it. We don't get European football because the
That sets
European.
you back further.
Yep, and but I even said on social media, Nick. I think that might be what we need. Not saying that I don't think we should try and not go for Europe. Like, I think getting Conference League would also be a really good starting point for us. But if we missed out on Europe completely, that is so kind of a dip down from where we were a few years ago that it might make the management and the administration finally wake up and say, actually, we need to sort our shit out. Because the amount of managers we've had in 18 months, Nick, we've had six managers, we've had three sporting directors as well. Hopefully we don't get rid of another one. And by the sounds of it, another manager's coming in. And yeah, it's we're a mess, Nick. And I'm sure all non-Olympiakos fans are enjoying this because you know we've
Oh
had
yeah.
yeah, of
If
course.
I'm
And every you know,
I
it's
try to be,
understandable.
personally I'm loving it, but if I'm gonna come on here, I'll try to talk as what's the word, but be partisan and all that. It's you guys are a mess. My mind, as I said, my mind's stuck on the signing situation, signing Portuguese guys, the guy's Portuguese and he hasn't got a say. So who the board has all these contacts in Portugal with Rio Ave? Who knows?
Yeah, who
What
knows?
the hell's going on? And
If I
if
knew, I
some
would
of these guys
say.
that you've signed in this window are actually decent players, but they're doomed to fail as well.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing to highlight. You know, the players that were brought in, because I was always saying the players that Pedro Alves brought in, the players the club brought in over Pedro Alves' head have actually been quite good. Like Gelson Martins was okay until he got injured, and he's out for a few weeks now. Andre Horta is pretty good. So is Chiquinho. So is Navarro. These players are actually decent. Even Carmo, who I know he
Carmo,
even
Navarro,
yeah, they're all good
if a chance
players.
falls to him, he'll finish.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think that they could be make for a good spine of the team for the end of the season. Because let's be honest, most of them have set a buyout clauses that we won't pay, so it
Yeah.
doesn't matter. But yeah, anyway, it's d hugely disappointing to lose the derby, and it's hugely disappointing where we
In
are as a team now.
the manner,
Yes, it is.
the way, as I said, it was just so easy for us. And I look at our guys, as I said, I can only name one or two guys that had a bad game. And then I look across the pitch at you guys, I can only name one. Masuras, I think, was decent in a poor side. And that's about it, really. Who else? That's about it.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think a couple of the players showed themselves a bit more, but it's not comparable with you guys because obviously you won. So like, yeah, Masuras, I would say Baskalakis too. I know he conceded too, but he's always been good for us. I don't think he's ever. I rarely have I ever seen a goal we've conceded which has been because of a Baskalakis error. It's more because the defense and the midfield who are trying to cover the defense aren't covering him. So I think that's the problem. And then there's all the
We
contract
changed,
stuff.
yeah. Oh, that's probably playing its role behind the scenes as well. I
Yeah, of
mean, you know,
course.
we changed coaches around the same time. I think you guys were a few weeks before us in December, wasn't it? Or were you guys
Yeah,
November?
something like that.
But you guys were December as well. I look at, I'm not saying that Im's worked miracles yet because he hasn't, but I look at the subtle tweaks he's made. And getting the best out of guys like Yedvay, for example, a lot of fans were counting down till he could leave the club. All of a sudden now he's up there, man of the match contender in almost every game. He's the one that's turned the corner the most. There's the Gotsiras. How do you to play Gotsiras as a defensive midfielder? The runs, the energy, the work rate. A lot of these guys have turned the corner under this coach. And under Jovanovic, who knows what would have happened, but there's a good chance we would have been knocked out of the cup by now and out of the league title race by now as well.
Who knows? Who knows, Nick? And at the end of the day, with my perspective on Terim, I think that he'll be gone regardless of what happens at the end of the season. I have a feeling that he's. I don't think this for certain, but I'm fairly confident that whether you win the league, I think if you win the league, he'll go. If you don't win the league, he'll also go. I don't know why.
If we win it, I think he'll go. If we don't, I don't know. Because we made a lot of this. There's been a lot of noise with signings, like the Bakayoko one and the push to bring Greeks. And if he's getting all these guys like Maksimovic that's coming in next year, they're now his players. Something tells me he might stick around for one more year if we don't win it.
Maybe. Like
We'll
I said,
see.
I don't think I'm 100% set on it, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he went at the end of the season, regardless of what happens. Because it just I don't know how long-term a project this was. Whereas at least with Jovanovic, it felt like at least there was a project, and if not this season, then maybe next year. But then I guess that's the problem with Jovanovic. It was a maybe next year, every year with him. So
Yeah.
we'll have to
As I
see.
said, a lot of guys were just stagnant. Now, under this coach, a lot of players have turned the corner and playing really
Yeah.
well individually.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, we will move on from, well, we'll move on from Olympiacos Panathinaikos on the football side of things because there's more news to come in a sec, but we'll have a quick look at the table. So, Balk still top of the league on 50 points. AEK second on 48. Panathinaikos on 47, Olympiakos on 41, Aris on 34, Lamia on 30, Asteras on 29. Got a bit of a lead on 8th place, Panathinaikos on 23, Adromitos also on 23 in 9th, Ofi on 20, Volos on 16, Panedoligos on 15, as is Kifisia, and bottom of the table is Bassianina. So that is how it goes so far in the table. And let's quickly look at the games this weekend before we move on, Nick. So Olympiacos host Ofi at 3:30 on Saturday, UK time, I should say. So it'd be 5:30 Greece time. Bassianina host Aris, Panathinaikos host Adromitos, Kifisia host Volos, Panathinaikos host Panathinaikos, Lamia host Asteras Tripolis, and the big one, the derby between Balk and AEK. Big, big,
Huge.
big game. Massive game.
Huge. Winner of this game becomes the favorite to win the league.
Yeah, maybe
Not
not
saying they're going to
outright,
win
but
it, but they
definitely the
become the favorite.
favorites. Yeah,
The favorites, yeah. If
yes.
Bulk win it, you think shit, not even Ike, who's had the wood over him in recent years, not even Ike can go there and beat them. There'll be fans as well
Yeah.
this week, as of this weekend.
Is that, I think it's next week. I think it
Is
starts
it next
next week,
week?
Nicole. I think it might be. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it's next week, but
Yeah,
that's what I
whenever
was
it
going to
is,
say. Fans
whenever it
are
is.
returning, which is really good. I'm really, really pleased that fans are coming back because I know that we
If
have fans for Europe for sure, but then that's UEFA deal with that, not EPO, obviously. So it doesn't really. But
personally, I'm hoping from a draw for a draw in that game, so that in that sense, both teams drop points. If I had to pick which team I'd rather win, I'd honestly say Bulk because they've got a hard schedule. They've got you guys to play in a home derby. Yeah, they'll be favored to win that, but still, it's a derby regardless. But then they've got European games coming up in and amongst the playoffs.
Yes, yes.
Their draw is a lot. Ike doesn't have that. Ike hasn't got cup fixtures to worry about. This is Ike's last derby. They've got to go to Ardys to round out the regular season. That's about it. Ike have the better draw, the bulk and the less fixtures and all that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and it's outright the biggest game. I guess Olympiakos Sofia is a biggish game too because of
Our
Ofi.
game's huge. I'm worried about our game. Our side, as you mentioned with the Ardys, late equaliser. If we're not at it, we're going to drop points. We've got to be at it.
Saragossa are unbeaten in five as well. Two wins, three draws as well. So that will be a tough game for you guys, certainly in Ceres.
Away as well. The saving grace is that we've finally, for the first time in like 5, 6 weeks, we finally had a 1 week turnaround for a game. We haven't had that. It's been 3 days, 4 days, 3 days, 4 days, and the injuries that piled up and all that. So thank God this was a 1 week turnaround.
I mean that's kind of been the case for us too, up to when we got knocked out of the cup, and obviously it'll start again once we start in the Europa Conference League against Ferencváros. And I guess to highlight another game, a bit of a relegation scrap between Gifisia and Volos as well, two teams that have a point between each other, so that'll be interesting to see. Lamia Asteras will be good too because that's kind of battle of the best of the rest at the moment in the table, and that maybe won't decide who finishes sixth, but if Lamia win, that puts them 4 points ahead of Asteras. So it's pretty big if they can get a victory in that game.
It's gone so quick, hasn't it? The regular season. It's like four, three, four, 5 weeks,
You
whatever
know
it is
what?
left.
You know what, Nick? It felt like it was kind of progressing gradually at the start, and as we've hit the new year, that's when everything sort of piled off. And everything's kind of happened at once. It is pretty crazy. And the playoffs are going to be mental as well come March. There's a lot of stuff coming for Greek football in March, particularly in the European playoffs as well. But we'll get to that when we get to that. We'll quickly jump on the Greek Cup, Nick, because games happened and we need to cover them. So we mentioned in the last episode that Niki Volos and Asteras drew 2-2. Aris, not Asteras. Aris are through to the semi-finals of the Greek Cup. Panathinaikos, massive 3-1 win over Ofi to go to the semi-finals. It's their first semi-final ever in their history. 98 years old is Panathinaikos. So congratulations to them. And beating a team that, well, Ofi know how to get to the final. And they've won the cup before, haven't they, Ofi? So, yeah.
They're a bigger club than Panathinaikos,
Oh,
absolutely.
definitely, definitely. And so that's massive for Panathinaikos having a bit of a magic of the Greek Cup, as I like to call
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
It's
Good on
very rare to have
Panathinaikos.
one of those sides make it to a final. Very rare. Xanthi against you guys, that was about 9, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Prior to that, there would have been
Larissa.
a Thromitos 1 year.
Well,
There would
Larissa are
have
a
been
big
a
club, actually.
Steras. There would have been a Steras a couple of years in there. A Thromitos, and the most recent would have been Xanthi.
Yeah, it was, and
Very
that
rare though.
was tech that was
Even Ardis.
and like I said, Larissa as well when they
Ardis.
won it in the 2007 or 2008. I can't remember when they won it.
Yeah. And Ardis would have been the one they lost against us, the Leto goal, the last time
Yes.
they would have made
Yeah,
it.
yeah. Speaking of Panathinaikos, you guys overturned the tie, Nick. 2-0 in
At the
Beristeri
best.
in the Athens derby.
At literally the last kick.
Massive for Panathinaikos because it would have gone to extra time had that goal not been scored. So you guys are through too, where you will play Balk, who got a 5-0 win over Panathinaikos. They just absolutely destroyed Panathinaikos over two legs, did Balk. I guess Panathinaikos, I mean, they got to the quarterfinals, so they weren't not focusing on the cup, but Yeah, they got absolutely minced by Barkin, and so it's crazy that the final won't be between you two. It's gonna be because you guys play each other in the semi-final because of the path that you guys were put on. Panathinaikos play Aris, so in a two-leg tie, Panathinaikos could potentially, very small chance, but they could potentially be in the final of the Greek Cup, which would be massive for them. But then I also feel like they won't win the Greek Cup over whoever they play if they reach that point. Whereas Aris, I'd give more of a chance of upsetting the apple cart against either you guys. But then
Sure.
I'm in two minds about this because of all the teams in the semi-final, I want Aris, like without any context for what happens to the other teams, I would love Aris to win the cup. But I also don't want Aris to win the cup because then that means if Olympiakos finish fourth, which they very well could, Olympiakos won't have Europe next season. So yeah, as an Olympiakos fan, I'm going to have to be selfish and say I don't really want either of you to win it. But yeah, it's going to have to be Panathinaikos or Balk for me to win it.
Aris have beaten us both in the league this season. Balk and us.
Yeah, they have.
You know, one off, they'll fancy it.
Yeah, of course. And
And we don't know where it's going to be played yet.
that's the other news that I was going to bring up. God, there's so much to talk about. But so
circus.
Ebor came out with a list of stadiums that they have put as potentials for the Greek Cup final, and it's going to be dependent also on who reaches the final. So if Panathinaikos and Balk play each other, for example, or Panathinaikos and Panathinaikos play each other, there probably will be fans, and it'll probably be at a fairly neutral, well, I mean, it'll be a neutral venue regardless, but there probably will be fans. Whereas if Aris host Balk,
No
no way there'll
chance.
be fans. I
No
don't know, would there
chance.
be fans for Aris Panathinaikos, Nigel? I don't really know. It's kind of
I don't
sad.
know. Probably.
It's not really a derby. But it's also like
If
two
they
big clubs
played it at
playing each other.
Volos, yeah, they probably could have fans.
Yeah, maybe. But I think that one's 50-50, whereas Balk Aris, 100%, there won't be fans.
No way.
No way. No way Baldakos will want fans there. So we'll have to see what happens. They'll probably announce it like 3 days before the final or something like they did last year, because that's how organized Epo are. On to some more news, Nick. As I said earlier, now we go from the football pitch to the courts, because there's a lot of court cases going on in Greek football right now.
Greek football, isn't it? Greek
Yeah,
football and courts go hand
yes,
in hand.
the Greek super courts, as it were. Panathinaikos Olympiakos debacle with has gone to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. But Olympiakos put in their appeal. The results of the appeal will be at the after the end of the regular season, but just before the playoffs. So that could, well, I mean, to be honest, Nick, I think even if Olympiakos win the case, I don't think we'll play the game again. And I think at best we'll get our minus 1 point back. I don't think, and at
One
the
of the
I don't think it'll be
scenarios is
overturned
that,
anyway. I don't think it'll be overturned anyway.
I'd be shocked if it's overturned because it failed twice in Greece.
Yeah. But then
That's the thing. If one of the scenarios is that the game resumes from the 50th minute, if the verdict's going to come out right before the playoffs, I doubt it.
yeah, I mean, we'll have to see what happens with that because CAS, at the end of the day, is a neutral organization. So they have no affiliation with Greek football whatsoever, other than the fact that they're dealing with this particular case. So it's slightly more likely that maybe they'll look more favorably on Olympiakos, but I don't think it's likely. And you know what? Even if we play from the 50th minute, you'll probably beat us anyway. But at the end of the day, I'd rather, like I said when this first happened, I'd rather you guys beat us on the pitch than beat us in the courts. But you know, that's
I
my
said it
view.
at the time, that whole thing. If that game continued, we would have won that game. The amount of that's probably the best
Would
we
have been a
played under
draw. I
Jovanovic
actually
this
think it would
season.
have been a draw. There's a
I
chance.
reckon we would have won. The way we under Jovanovic, we'll never know, of course, but we played so well that game.
Yeah.
And since then, we've met in the cup, injury riddled with Arkadina, centre back when they were playing striker, and we knocked you out, albeit on penalties. And then this game in the league.
Yeah, I think because Olympiakos had more steam behind them under Diego Martinez then, and we just equalized before the incident occurred, I think there's every chance we could have, even if like it could have been a game of two halves and we could have won. Like we'll never know. Or it could have
You'll
been
never know.
you guys could have won. Literally, we won't know. And I don't think the game we played, there won't be enough time because when the result comes out, it'll be during the international break, most likely. And then where are they going to fit that fixture in during the playoffs? I can't see it unless unless it's like after the league is played and it's just like a final.
No,
Yeah, I don't know.
our vice president flew over. He gave his he was a witness, and our club doctor spoke as well. Not sure you guys have spoken yet. As you said, I doubt it's going to be overturned. If in the off case that it does, the off chance it does, it won't be replayed. So you guys will get 1 point back. And bloody dickhead Guias comes out. Did you see what he said?
What is
If
it?
this game,
Oh, about the incident,
didn't
yeah.
have the points deduction, if this game continued and all that, Olympiacos will be top of the league and at minimum 5 points clear of second place. Get a grip.
Yeah, it's wishful thinking from him. What I would say to that is, I think maybe our I think if this hadn't happened, maybe our season would have gone a bit differently. But I don't necessarily mean that guarantees we're top and certainly not 5 points ahead. But then I guess at the same time, there have been a lot of. You know, everyone's had these poor VAR decisions, but they've of course come into play with why we're not maybe we don't have a few more points on the board than we possibly could have had. But then VAR is screwing everyone over in the league, but also in the wider European football as well. So it's ifs, buts, maybes, coulda, shoulda, woulda, and it's well, we are where we are, and we're not good anyway. So I'm not don't want to paper over the cracks, to be honest. Speaking of good, yes.
The league table usually doesn't lie. And you look at it this season to date, of course, we're not giving out Protaflimata now. Barca first, rightfully so, they've been the best team all season. AEK are probably a tad more consistent than us because they've lost less games than us. So fair that they're in second. I think we've been the third best side all season, and you guys have been the fourth best side. And that's
Yeah,
what the latter should
overall for
Yes.
sure. I think when we were actually top of the league, I think you could argue we were, based on our early start, I thought we were one of the better teams at the beginning, and now we've just completely imploded. So overall, yeah, we're the fourth best team, and that's where we are. Speaking of Gurgias, he went to the Professional Sports Commission with a 120-piece evidence document to justify what he claimed with regards to the criminal organizations in Greek football. He was reportedly very pleased with the way he was spoken to and treated during the case, and I guess we'll see. I don't know what if they've put a date on when that will come out. Nothing might come of it. Let's see. He's named and shamed in this 120-page document, supposedly.
Yeah, again, let's wait and see what comes of it. I doubt much comes of it.
Yep, and I guess
As I said to you off air before we started, you guys are also have another case going on with CAS. That's a bit later on though, with Olympique Marseille. I'm not sure the reason why. I'm gonna try find out and send it to you.
you're gonna have
Have
to
you guys tried? Have you guys signed a player from there recently?
I don't think
Last couple of
so.
years? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to think because Gelson Martins was from Monaco, so I don't think we've not dealt with Marseille in a long time. And if it's about like the 90th minute goal Hassan scored against him in the Champions League like 4 years ago, then I'm sorry, guys, that was a long time ago. But I
I'll pick it
don't
up and
know.
send it to you.
Yeah, send it to
It's
me.
set for after this, like later on, like March, April time.
Sure. And I mean, last court case we can talk about today in the Greek Super Court segment. Is you guys, Nick?
Yeah.
Panathinaikos versus Lucescu. Could you please explain to me what's happened here?
So every time, either regardless of the result, basically every time since we have played Bulk from the 2022 Greek Cup final, Lucescu's brought up the penalty we were given in that game.
Right.
Saying that he basically saying his side was robbed of a Greek Cup and our side's had enough of things and they've taken him to court.
Sure. Fair enough. Sure, I think it.
If it shuts him up, it's fucked. Like the guy can coach. He's just a clown. He's a grumpy guy. Like, credit to him because his team's flying and as I said, he can coach, but after they beat us in the recent game, they played us off the park and he still brought it up. He still brought it up. And if I was the club, I would have sent him a replica or sent him a photo of the Greek Cup that we won. And I thought a celebration in front of their fans.
Yeah, that would just rolled him up even more.
Yeah. It's the petty shit that makes Greek football the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, don't you know it? And so, yeah, that concludes the segment known as the Greek Super Courts. But I doubt it'll be the last time we talk about this, especially with the results from CAS that will be announced in a couple of months' time. So,
The big one is our one, obviously, out of all of these cases.
yeah, and like I said, I'd be shocked if it gets completely overturned. I think, like I said, at best, we'll get our minus 1 point. We'll get our point back, and you guys will still win 3-0 on paper. I think I can't see anything other than that. Moving on to well, before we go to the internationals, we're just there's a few other notes I want to talk about. So Olympiacos under-19s reached the UEFA Youth League round of 16 after knocking out Inter under-19s 5-6 6-5 on penalties. So good, despite the fact Olympiacos senior team are performing really badly overall. Olympiacos under-19 showing them how it's done. So full credit to the kids, and they look good. I saw some of the highlights from that game. And there's a few, you know what? There's a few. I think with all the discourse in the first team, a lot of fans have turned to the B team and the under-19s and such. And that, you know, we have got a few really good, talented young players kicking about. But unfortunately, as it is with Greek football teams not known as Balk, we just can't bring them up. And I think now is the time to do so. You know, because we're going to have 13 first team players if all of the loan players that we brought in, Nick, don't sign permanently, and if all the players that have less than 6 months left on their contract leave, we have 13 first team players left in the squad. That could be a great time to, like, obviously, I don't think that we'll not sign players on new contracts and maybe sign one or two permanently, who are on loan. But I think that it would be a really good time to promote a couple of these, like, really talented players, because even if they don't play every single game, they're still going to be in the team, and it would be great for Greek quota, it'd be great for their development. I don't know. I think, but it's good on
Yeah, for
the
sure.
under-19s for sure. Because
Who do they play next? Have they done a draw?
I don't. They haven't done the draw yet, but there's a few. It's interesting how I've never really focused on the UEFA Youth League, but it's interesting because there's like a group stage of all the bigger teams from the other, like the youth sides
Right.
of the bigger teams, and then Olympiacos comes in at a different point from
Oh.
like playing like you know how like the old European Cup was, where it's like round one, round two,
Yeah.
quarterfinals and stuff. That's how it kind of worked on this Olympiacos side of
Okay.
things. It's really weird, but yeah, we drew Inter, who finished in the second in their group, and we beat them, and it's pretty impressive. So good on Olympiacos under-19s. Marinakis went into the boardroom, went into the dressing room afterwards. You know, obviously swaggered in, and was like, "Oh, you're doing what the senior players can't, like you're and stuff." So, you know, typical Marinakis. There we go.
The goalkeepers, I don't know if your keeper, their keeper missed the penalty to knock to eliminate him. It
That
got
was
to
it.
like goalkeepers taking penalties.
I think I can't remember now. I think it was
I don't know about your keeper, but definitely their keeper.
maybe their keeper's just good at taking penalties.
All that.
Yeah. But yeah, good
I think
on.
it's 6-5.
Yeah, good on Olympiacos under-19s. Really, it was really pleasing to see, and it gives me hope, little green shoots of hope that Olympiacos is doing something right at the moment. Next, we go to briefly go to Greeks abroad, because this is something that we wanted to highlight, Nick. So, Odysseas Vlachodimos is obviously the first choice goalkeeper of the Ethniki, and he's at Nottingham Forest. He was given a start under their previous manager, Graham, not Graham Potter, there's the other one.
Steve Cooper.
Steve Cooper, that's it. There's just so many English managers who all look the same. Yeah, Steve Cooper gave him a bit of a chance, and he got a clean sheet against you guys, actually, Aston Villa, your Premier League team.
His debut.
Yeah, and ever since the changeover to Nuno Espirito Santo, he's not been given a chance. Matt Turner's been in the fir as the first choice goalkeeper, but he's made a couple errors. So they brought in Matt Sellers, who, if people vaguely remember that name, he was at Newcastle as the backup keeper for a time. And it's just a strange one for Vlachodimos, because it now feels like maybe it's biased, but it's also probably true. He is the best keeper of those three on paper, but he's also the third choice goalkeeper in that team. So it stands to reason that Vlachodimos won't be at the club next season, because he's clearly not in the plans of Nuno to be there. And well, I mean, if they get relegated, then obviously they'll have to sell assets. But I think if they stay up, I don't know if he'll be there. And obviously with the links, not just links, Marinakis owning Nottingham Forest and Olympiacos, there's always that link of could he be going to Olympiacos in the summer? I think that's something I've kind of said.
No, I would say that's probable rather than possible. I'd say that's a big chance. I'd say that's probably the most likely scenario. That's where he ends up.
Yeah, and a lot of Panathinaikos fans, well, not a lot, a couple of Panathinaikos fans, when I posted something about it a couple of weeks ago, were like, oh no, he loves the club, he loves Baal, he loves, like, he had said he'd never join Olympiakos. I'm like,
I've
Alexandropoulos
seen
was like a
that.
youth player for
Yeah.
Baal, and he's joined us on loan, and very well will be one of the few players we sign permanently, because he's been playing really well for us. So I don't, and a player, you know what? If the money's there, he'll go. I think he'll go. So I
It
got.
was a shit move, this Forest one, to begin with. Not for the reasons, though, the way it panned out. I thought, what's he doing wasting his time going there? But he can't even get a game there.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's. I think there might be one or two games where he hasn't been great, but then
And
that.
I like Forest as a club.
I like them.
But
I like them too, and it's
it's
not
a
just the
shame Marinakis
Olympiakos
owns
loan.
them.
I mean, you
For
say that,
me,
Nick.
I'm saying it's a shame because I like Forest as a club. They're a very historic club and all that. It's a shame he owns them. I mean, they've got their own issues. They could well go down this season.
Yeah, and that's just based on their breaching of FFP. But then, I guess at the same time, I know obviously how you feel about Marinakis, but then he has taken them to the Premier League, which is what they've always wanted. They were in the second division for so long, and so he's the
At what
man.
cost?
He Yes, at what cost now? But he was the man. Like, but fans won't always see that. He's the man that took them up, who finally brought them back to the promised land, and that sits with people for a long time. Unless he absolutely goes and ruins them and puts them into administration, then obviously things will change. But I think even with this FFP thing, I don't think people are pointing the finger at Marinakis in England. It's more just, it's more. Well, I mean, it partially at Marinakis, but I think the wider problem, as we've said before, is. How FFP is outdated in England. It's not even called FFP because financial fair play is UEFA.
PSI, isn't it?
It's yeah, it's PSI or PSR or and so that is outdated, as we've said before. And the boundaries need to change because there are these teams that can't progress any further and have to sell players even if
Newcastle.
they're well run. Yeah, Newcastle being one of them, even though we don't know if Newcastle have been a bit dodgy themselves, like Manchester City or Chelsea yet. But, like, even them and even West Ham, who are a very well run club, they have to sell all their assets despite the fact they haven't breached financial fair play at all. So yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting with Nottingham Forest and what's going to go on then. But back on Vlachodimos, I think he'll go in the summer. I don't think he'll go permanently, probably alone, but I could also see him go to Olympiacos. I think that's like that seems like a move that makes sense in my head because he's Greek, he's Marinakis is there.
That's where I think he ends up, honestly. And if he goes, he should expect to cop it loads.
Yes, we just like Alexandropoulos did. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, or it's Alexandropoulos has copped it, but bad. He's not. I don't think Vlachodimos will cop it to that extent. Alexandropoulos, because of the carry on, he carries on like a little prick. That's why. But
Yeah,
he's really copped it.
but you know what? Going on to Alexandropoulos, to be honest, Nick, I'm really pleased with how he's performed. He's
I think in the derbies he's been awful. He's gift not gifting us wins, but he's allowing us. He's playing his role in winning us these games.
Well, you say that. I mean, he scored against you guys in the cup when we went ahead in at before half time.
As I said when I was talking about the pressing, the way he comes out to press, that's all he's got. He's probably been instructed press, run because that's all you've got, and pass the ball on to someone who's more gifted technically than you.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm pleased with him, and it would be good to have another Greek player. I know, I see, I know what I see. I know how you feel about him being there and stuff, but I'd rather him be there than some guy who's just sitting on loan, like with a stupid fee that we're not going to pay. I'm not talking about Andre Horta because he has actually been quite good, but he has a massive fee that we won't pay for in the summer. But yeah, I'd buy him. I'd keep Alexandropoulos, and I think that will happen regardless of what happens at the end of the season.
As I said, I hope it does.
Yeah.
Make us so it can give us more laughs. With you guys, another scenario, Fortunis looks like his contract won't be renewed. Talks that we were linked with him, as we said with Jovanovic, we can put a line through this. He won't be joining Panathinaikos, I don't think.
No.
Let's call it no chance.
I don't think he'll be joining any other Greek club, big Greek club, if he doesn't sign with Olympiacos Fortunis. And you know what? It's not like. in the mainstream media, nothing has been said, which in some ways could be interpreted as a good thing or a bad thing, because nothing in a good way could mean it's just not being focused on, and he'll probably do it towards the end of the season, depending on where he thinks the club is at. And it could also mean that he's not going to sign the new deal at all, and he'll leave at the end of the season, probably go to a bigger league or Saudi Arabia, where he can get paid stupid money. Although, you know, peak players talks, and a lot of players have been exiting Saudi Arabia and want to leave Saudi Arabia. So, don't know. Although Yorgos Donis still wants him, so maybe Donis will bring him in to his club.
If we're guessing what's going to happen, I think Vlachodimos lands at Olympiacos in the new season. I think Fortunis is at a new club. I don't know which club that'll be. He just looked disinterested. Well, even in the derby when he came on, and again, is it really his fault? Like, it looked like he was ineffective because he wasn't playing in his right position.
Well, this is something that certain people have been highlighting in the mainstream media, is that when you look at the stats of Fortunis under Diego Martinez, he got the absolute best out of him, and he looked like the best he's ever been. Whereas Carlos Carvajal has just absolutely got zero out of Fortunis. No
Yeah,
assists, no
that's what I'm
goals,
saying. Yeah.
nothing. So I think if they bring in a new coach, which is very likely to happen now, and he gets the best out of Fortunis and he puts an arm around him, that could be the catalyst for him staying. If he could, I think that'll be the deciding factor for Fortunis. If they bring in a manager who they're not going to sack at the end of the season, regardless of what happens at Olympiacos, and he can get the best out of Fortunis, I think that he stays, but not a guarantee. I think because he could be seeing the mess behind the scenes like everyone else is, and just think, you know what, regardless of what happens, I'm out because I've done all I can. But at the same, I don't know. It's weird with Fortuna. Mansouras too. Mansouras could leave, but I think he may be
I
less
think he'll
likely.
go.
I think he's less likely, but let's see. I don't know anymore. I really don't, Nick. This has been playing on my mind for a
Credit to
while.
him. He's been okay, Masoud. I've criticized him a lot, but he's, as I said, in his derby, he was one of the few players that can hold his head high.
Yeah, and in a bad season, he's one of the few this whole campaign that has been consistent and has been a leader on the pitch. So yeah, but a lot of the fans are starting. Well, I mean, it was always a minority of fans that were criticizing him, but I think everyone now is behind him, I think, because even though he may not have a good game here and there, and he may miss a hatful of chances, which he still does, but you know that he's giving 110% every time.
Another final rumor, I guess we can talk about Brignoli. Likely that he ends up at AEK.
Yeah, see, this is one that probably will happen, and will be an inter rivalry transfer, and it's pretty crazy if he goes to. I mean,
Oh, he's gonna cop it.
does he get
He's
the
gonna
first
cop
choice
it
goalkeeping
loads
role
more.
there?
Yeah, because they've got their own issues at goalkeeper. He'll be the first choice there if he goes there. I think that's the likely scenario now. We were saying if Vlachodimos ends up at Olympiacos, Brignoli is going to cop it a million times more.
Okay, so just breaking here, Nick, we've got another manager that's apparently very close to signing for Olympiacos. So Jose Luis Mendilibar, if I've said that correctly, probably butchered it. 62-year-old man, Spanish manager, was most recently at Sevilla. He's at Alaves, and so yeah, he's got a long track record of managing in Spain. Let's see. I mean, apparently the deal is close. Apparently it was an exclusive by Sport Day, and it's been picked up by a lot of other mainstream media outlets, which is making this a valid, what am I trying to say? It making it the source valid. He won the to be fair, he won the Europa League with Sevilla last season. So that means we're bringing him in, I guess. Let's see what happens with this guy. I don't
I've
know. I
got to
mean,
laugh.
his win rate has not been great over his last few managerial appointments. I don't think this is a good sign. I mean, I would rather see Pascal
Yeah.
Janssen come in, but let's see. Let's see, man. I don't know. It sounds like a
That's
no.
this guy, he sounds like a Carvajal. It's going to last a couple of months and he'll be sacked as
That's
well.
what I mean, Re. And hopefully he does better than Carvajal, but here we go again. Here we go again with Olympiacos. And just to, f well, we'll go to the internationals now very quickly. So, because the draw is happening today for the Nations League, Nick, and Greece are in Pot B after being, so in League B after being promoted from League C last campaign. They could face a few tough teams in there.
I look at a
Particularly.
lot of these Pod A sides, and I think all of them would probably be the favourites to beat us. I look at the Pot 2 sides, almost all of them. I think we could take Iceland, and that's about it. We on our good day, we might be able to take the others, but we'd be the underdogs. Then the third pot is where it opens up a little bit.
Yes, so in pot B, which is where, sorry, in League B pots, which is what Greece is in, pot one has Austria, Czech Republic, England, Wales. Pot two is Finland, Ukraine, Iceland, Norway. Pot three has Slovenia, Albania, Republic of Ireland, Montenegro, and pot four has Georgia, Greece, Turkey, Kazakhstan. So we can't play Turkey. We can't play Turkey. We can play Turkey if
No,
we qualify
because
for the Euros.
we were the winners of our League C groups. Georgia, Greece, Turkey, and Kazakhstan were the
Yeah.
winners of the League C, the last Nations League campaign. This is the first time we've been promoted. Can you believe it?
Yeah, and under Gus Poyet as well. I mean, I guess that's
How
something you can
bad?
credit him for doing.
How bad were the previous campaigns in this?
Well,
Couldn't get promoted.
we were in leagues that we should have gone up in. I remember the one
100%.
with Slovenia in and Kosovo
That's the
and
killer. That one's the killer.
Moldova. Yeah, it was with John Van Schip, if I recall. So, I mean, yeah, looking at it, Nick, I think based on how every team is doing right now, I think Greece is I say easiest. The pot that I think would be the teams that would be most favorable for Greece to get from each pot would be Wales from pot one,
Agree?
Iceland from pot two, because they're a bit of a basket case.
Agree? Agree, yeah.
Pot three is a bit tougher. I mean, we've beaten Republic of Ireland, but they're still not the easiest. I'd probably Montenegro, but then
Agree.
I think
They're the three I want.
of those three, the toughest, 100% it's England, 100% it's probably not, or Ukraine, actually. I'd argue Ukraine over
Ukraine.
Norway,
Ukraine.
because
For sure,
Norway are just a
Ukraine.
bit disjointed, because Norway have a good team on paper, but they just can't get it together. I don't know about
At
Norway.
international level, mess. Yeah. We've beaten them in a friendly, not,
I remember.
kind of recently.
Yeah, I
Ukraine,
remember.
by far, harder.
Pot three. You know what? It's probably Albania, because they'll be up for
Yeah.
it. Even though Slovenia have a couple of good players, including Jan Oblak in goal, I think Albania will be up for it if we draw them. And now that I've said that, Albania will draw Greece in pot three.
They're a really tough side to play against at the moment. Their group stage to qualify for the Euro was phenomenal.
Yeah, they did excellent in their qualifiers to get there, and so it's going to
They're
be.
the ones I want to avoid badly from that third pot.
So it's going to be tough, but then you know what? At the end of the day, these are the teams that Greece have to compete with to get back into the higher rankings of the FIFA of the FIFA coefficient for nations. And yeah, hopefully Greece can do something. What are the expectations, do you think, for this one? Because obviously, when we were in League C, it was
Stay up.
promotion. Yeah. I would say it's stay up, finish mid-table in the group. And if they went up to League A, that'd be amazing. But I don't think it will happen. I mean, if we got Wales as the top seeded team, there's always a chance. But I think if you get Czech Republic are tough, Austria are very good at the moment, England are England, probably the second or third best team in the world, not just on paper. So yeah, I only want England to then go and watch them play
You can
at
go.
Wembley.
Even Wales.
Yeah, and
Wales
even
isn't too
Wales,
far away.
I could go to the. I think it's is it
Millennium
the Millennium?
Stadium, they
Yeah, that's it, the
play.
Millennium Stadium. That's it. I don't know if they've renamed it recently, but yeah, it's just I can go to Cardiff, watch Greece play Wales. That'd be awesome. So either team, I'd
We
be
get a
pleased with.
following there, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be down. But other than that, I don't
As you
want to see.
said, the three ideally is Wales, Iceland, and Montenegro. They're my three as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the draw will happen later today, so I'm sure we'll put something out for that once we know Greece's opponents. And just I guess a tidbit on Cyprus, the Cyprus are in League C because they didn't have to get relegated to League D after changes to the structure of the
Yes.
Nations League. They are in pot three, so they could play anyone and probably still lose because Cyprus are really bad. So I'm not even gonna whoever Cyprus get, it'll be tough, and I don't think they'll beat a lot of these teams that I'm looking at right now, maybe with the exception of Gibraltar, if Gibraltar qualify from their relegation playoff game that they have to play in March. So good luck to Cyprus. I would love it if Cyprus did something, but they won't. I
And
guess.
the big ones coming up, the playoffs. for the Euro. That's
Yeah,
rapidly
that's
approaching.
massive. It'll be the biggest games for the national team in a long, long time. And
21st of March, Kazakhstan at home. Local kickoff time, or whatever time they call it. I think it's the not the it's in between the UK and Greek time. You know how Greece and England's 2 hours apart.
yeah, let me have a quick look.
There's
So
Italy, Germany. I think it's scheduled for an 8:45 kickoff, so it'd be 9:45 kickoff in Greece.
yeah, that's it. Yeah, so it's 7:45 in the UK, so it'd be
That's
9:45 in
right.
Greece. Yeah,
So
there we go.
9:45 in Greece, which makes it 6:45 a.m. here on the 22nd. That's a Friday morning, 22nd of March. Win that. I was looking into this. So if we win that, the kickoff time for the final depends on our opponent, believe it or not.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because Georgia is on the eastern side, that really far, far eastern side of Europe. If we play Georgia in Georgia in the final, I don't know what time it'll be, local time, Greek time, and all that, but it'll be a 4 a.m. kickoff in Sydney, Melbourne time in Australia. If we play Luxembourg in the final, it'll be 6:45 a.m.
Okay.
on the Wednesday morning, the 27th of March, Sydney and Melbourne time.
Well, when we get to March, we'll cover all of that, and we'll be waiting in anticipation to hope and with hope that Greece qualify for their first competition in 10 years. Please, I beg.
Mental.
Yeah, I guess that's everything, Nick. Is there anything else you want to mention quickly before we head off?
That's about it. As I said, this is such a big season, a big year for Greek football. We're living it again. Not to rub it in, but I'm so proud that of our boys, Panathinaikos, that we dug deep and got a reaction and all that, and we're looking now to go to the Mekri Telos to go for that title till the very end and bring on the Ethniki Games.
Yeah, no, I fair enough. You know, you have every right to be pleased with your team. I'm not pleased with my team, but hopefully that changes next season because I'm not hoping for a massive change overnight. And so yeah, I guess thank you guys for listening, and thank you so much for continuing to support us on all social media platforms on X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We really appreciate all the support you've given us for all of our posts and for the podcast too. Or give us a follow if you haven't already on our social media platforms. And if a mate loves Greek football and wants to get the latest updates, then get him to follow us too. Same with the podcast. Please leave us a 5-star review on any podcast platform that you listen to us on, because we are on pretty much everything, because that always bumps us up in the ratings, and it's just means that we get more listenership and we get to continue doing this, and we always have fun and at doing this and doing this for you guys as well. So thank you, Nick, for joining me, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.